Hi there. Welcome to our Intentional Living Center. The doors are wide open. I am Dr. Randy Carlson. We're looking forward to these 30 minutes ahead. We got a great time to talk about our children and in particular about faith. How do you teach your children about the spiritual world, about a world they cannot touch or see or smell? But by faith, we accept that God loves us and sent his son for us versus the material world that we focus on so much and we spend so much time training our children about. What one thing are you doing to teach your children about faith? You know, this thing of teaching our children about faith is a really interesting topic, and I know immediately come to mind while we go to Sunday school and church and we pray and so on. These are all important things, I think, basic to teaching our kids about faith. But we live in a world today, parents, where our children are being taught more and more about materialism, about the world is a material world, about material things. They're also growing up in a world where they're being taught not to trust teachers, not to trust authority figures, not to trust our government. And because of many things that have occurred in our world, kids today are growing up in a great deal more insecurity. And so when we talk about faith, how many of our children today really understand what it means just to trust, to have faith? And then trust in a God they cannot see, maybe trust in a God that didn't take care of their parents going through their marriage problems or their grandparents with their health problems or whatever it may be. So I would ask a very basic question today, a serious question, an important question. If that's your job and my job as parents and grandparents, what one thing have you been doing? One thing. If nothing else, I want you to think about it. If you're not doing it, to understand the responsibility to do it. So we're getting very intentional around an important topic today. Come join us at 888-888-1717.
I'd like to share concerning my mother, someone that touched my life more than anyone. My mother was a sharecropper, and we didn't have a whole lot. But one thing my mother gave me, being a child, was she taught her children how to pray. And if I could look back over my life, if there was a mentor, it would be my mother, teaching us how to pray. She taught us we ought to always pray. If we didn't do anything else, pray.
Very good for you. Hey, listen, those are the things that make a difference. What are you teaching your kids about faith? Let's go. Sean first, Lubbock. Hi there, Sean. How are you today?
Hi. I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for your call.
Yes, I love listening to y'all. I like to hear the input, especially when the days are, you know, the devil's trying to get at you, and you're like, no, I'm not going to let him win, because you know what? God gave us joy, and he woke us up this morning.
Amen. So. It starts early, and you got to start with the first breath in the day, don't we?
That's right. You have to, because you got to be thankful. There's maybe somebody out there that's got a worse life than you. You got to be thankful for what you have.
Guaranteed about that. So what are you doing to pass all this good stuff on to your kids about faith?
I've always kept them in prayer. They've always seen me, you know, with the Bible or something, to teach in Sunday school and teach them in church and going to church and being about family and saying the family is the only thing you have. I mean, you know, you have everything else, but you know, everything else is just an added bonus, you know, an added blessing. You just got to keep them rooted in Christ, you know. And
yeah, so what are some real specific things you do?
Oh, I read the Bible with my grandkids. I've got grandkids. My girls are grown now, and it's been hard letting them grow up.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm thankful that I, you know,
are you gonna cry about? You gonna cry about letting your kids go?
Yeah, well, sometimes it's hard.
Yeah,
because you see them making decisions that you're like, you're wanting them to say, okay, you go ahead and make your decisions, but you don't feel like it's right.
Yeah.
But you got to have trust in God that you've gave them enough input that they're putting their trust in God that they're doing the right thing for their kids.
Absolutely, I think this thing of parenting is never over, Sean.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I've known it. My mother has brain cancer, and you know we have her stills, and I'm thankful.
That's good.
It is hard to see a parent that suffer. And as a parent yourself, you're having to try to be the strong one in the family when it's your mother that was always the strong one.
That's hard. Yeah, I've been down that road. That's difficult.
And
what's your mom's name, Sean?
Glenda.
Glenda?
Uh-huh.
Can I pray for you guys?
Yeah.
Let me do that, because I know you've got a real heart of service and love for your family, and yet loss is a part of our experience. And it's a word to everyone. Being a Christian doesn't mean we're immune from this stuff. We just have the power when we face it. That's the difference. Lord, I pray for Sean, for her mom, Glenda, for letting go, being in this generational squeeze, caught in the middle. Difficult, Father, but the trust that Sean has in you, that she's passing on to her family, is a beautiful thing. Thank you for her, and bless her today, and may she find strength as she walks through this day with you today. Amen. Thank you, Sean.
And you have a blessed day, and we're going to enjoy listening.
Glad you're listening.
And a friend told me one time that she always prayed for her children. Oh, God, please help them resist temptation. But if they can't resist temptation, let them be caught immediately and punished mercifully. And it is amazing how God answers that prayer, to the point where the older kids once said to one of the younger ones, how can you be so stupid? You know that prayer, Mom says. And you were caught before you even got home. They were on the phone telling Mom and Dad what you did wrong. Yay, God.
There's a prayer. Mark it down. Use it. Talk to God about your kids in advance. Merciful, but get them caught, right? Hey, Rick is in Midland, Michigan. Hey, Rick.
Hello.
Welcome to the program today, my friend. How are you doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Terrific.
You know, my wife and I have always been very active and involved in our church, and one of the things that we always wanted to do with our children was show them practical ways to exercise faith. And you know, one of the ways that we did that is as we were growing up, we kept them involved, if you would, or in tune with our finances, never to the point where if the finances were bad, they were worried about them, but yet that they knew where our finances were. And then through that, we showed them that through our obedience of tithing to God, He was always faithful to take care of our needs. Mm. You know, there were times that, you know, it was like the last hour, as they say. But God would always come through. He would always take care of our needs, and to this day, He still does. And I just thank the Lord that carried on into our kids' lives, and they are seeing that now exercised in their lives.
Fantastic. Well, you are getting really practical, and when we can teach our kids about finances, we consider that to be one of the five essential areas of life. When we travel and teach, we always focus on five essential areas, faith being number one, foundational, but finance is always one of those. And the Bible says so much, and where our treasure is, there's our heart. Teaching our children about God's treasures ultimately are learning that we don't own anything, and we give back to Him. It's a great message. Thank you, Rick, my friend. Appreciate it. Let me go to Marion in Tucson. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What are you learning about faith or teaching your kids about faith?
Well, you know, part of my marriage vows was to raise a godly heritage. Mm-hmm. But sadly enough, my husband divorced me after 14 years, just suddenly. And I fell apart, and he dropped out of my two daughters' lives. And
how old were your daughters at the time?
At the time, they were 8 and 10.
Wow. Difficult time. These young girls developing identity and their sense of value and purpose.
I have lived with the condemnation from the enemy of my failure to root and ground my children in the Word of God.
So did that affect you then in how you parented?
Yes, it did. I didn't put boundaries in place. I felt they were so hurt, and so I would, you know, let them do or let them have what they want.
So you were operated more out of guilt than out of confidence.
Well, I praise the Lord that now I've had healing, and mainly through Family Life Radio. But I'm calling today because I am very concerned about my 4-year-old granddaughter. My middle daughter was a single mom when she had Soraya, and God placed this little baby in my arms when she was 2 days old, and I virtually raised her till 3 and a half. But now my daughter is in another relationship. She's living with her boyfriend. He is not a believer. He is extremely controlling.
Well, I tell you, Marion, listen, when you have a situation like this, and you just said it, you don't want to be in a spirit of condemnation. You know, beating yourself up is not going to do you any good. And when the Bible says that that He forgives, if we're faithful and just, you know, he's faithful and just. There's always justice and faithfulness if we confess our sins. And then you move on with confidence. But if you have a concern for your daughter, if you have a concern for her, then you have a responsibility to, with confidence, to call her aside and sit down and talk to her. You need to address issues with her. You need to be intentional with her in terms of what your observations are and how you can help her and stand with her. We get young people who grow up, they get married, they get in multiple relationships, they make bad decisions. And as a result of these decisions, there's always consequences that have to be dealt with. And so, you know, the key, Marion, is to be very transparent with your daughter and be very observant. You know, we want to support our kids, but at the same time, we have an obligation at times to sit down and talk about the things that we're concerned about. You can do that, but you've got to be intentional in the process.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for your program, and it's helped myself and my family. For today's show, it's for our children. I started praying for my son who was not believing in God and said there was no God because of his failures in school and wanting to join the military. So what I did was I just kept praying. And I have a client who, that day she was teaching Bible study on a book they came across, The Power of Praying for Your Adult Children. So I started reading it and praying more fervently and fasting and reading his word. And I changed my ways on counseling my son and encouraging him. And before you know it, he went to the state fair and a pastor prayed with him. And then he called me. He was excited. And then he came and he stayed with me for a while. And we prayed and I gave him a book on what the gospel means. And I didn't pressure him. I just allowed him to keep going through what he needed to go through. And I kept praying for him. And I pray for my children fervently first thing. And right now, I know that the Lord is with him, and I know that God has something for him. And he's back in school, and his heart is heavy on joining the military. And God bless all those that are praying for their children. Just persevere. And we are his children, and he loves us all. Thank you, Dr. Randy, and God bless you.
Oh, thank you. You know, as I was hearing your powerful and tender and such an important testimony, I was thinking about those of us who tend to be kind of high-control type A types that, you know, we believe in the power of prayer, but we still want to do our own thing to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? That idea of the control. And when we get to a place with our adult children to realize we don't control, we put them in God's hands, we pray for them. And I love the fact that you gave up or decided not to try to be the Holy Spirit in their lives, but to allow God to do his work in your son's life. That's a powerful reminder. As we're thinking about our kids, we're thinking about their faith and what do they believe? Do they really believe? Is it real to them or is it just a takeoff on what we've taught them? Now, we want to teach them, but ultimately we want them to make sure that they absorb this and make this a part of their own life. Hey, love to hear your testimony. Maybe you have a story you'd like to share with us on our comment line. You can give us a call and leave it on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Romans 4:18, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. Here's the point. Hope against hope. Did you know that that little phrase, hope against hope, was first heard back in the 1800s, and it was by a person who had been reading from that verse I just read from Romans chapter 4. Hope against hope. In many ways, you've got to think about, I mean, be Abraham for a moment. You're this old man with this old wife, and God's saying you're going to be the father of many nations, and your hope has been deferred a long time, and you're thinking, wait a minute, that's hope against hope, right? You know, it makes me think of that passage that says that a hope deferred makes the heart sick, makes you wonder how they felt if their heart was sick, and many of you probably relate to that. You're feeling pretty hopeless. You've been praying, waiting. You've had a hope. It's been deferred, and it keeps being deferred. You're just waiting on God to do something. That's why I did the lesson for this month and for all of August on the topic of experiencing hope. It's really a message that we communicate here at our ministry. There's plenty of hope to go around, but sometimes it's hard to experience it. It's a decision we have to make. And in the lesson this month, I teach on how to do that. And you know, it's the last call as we enter into this brand new month of August. It's the last opportunity. If you haven't become a part of the Intentional Living family in joining the community and monthly support, you need to do it now to be included in this two-part series of Experiencing Hope. And by the way, it's the last call as we make available to all new members of Intentional Living the classic Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. It's a book that I have in my library, and I handpicked this one for you as a way of saying thank you and to minister to you and maybe those that you share it with. But you need to contact us today. You can either go online to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on that little donate icon. Or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And when you do, just press number 2 and it'll take you to our staff. And they would love to welcome you to the family of supporters for Intentional Living. And I just want to say thanks to each of you who have contacted us during this last month, and you've called or gone online and you've joined us to stand with us with Intentional Living, and I appreciate it. I'll be back again tomorrow. And by the way, tomorrow we'll be making a very special announcement as we welcome a brand new large community to our Intentional Living family. We'll be telling you more about that tomorrow, so I hope you'll join us here on the radio through the Ministry of Intentional Living. God has a unique plan for our children despite us, which I'm thankful for. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Abraham had two sons. One was named Isaac, the other Ishmael. And when Sarah demanded that her maidservant Hagar's and Abraham's son Ishmael leave the camp, the story sort of fell over. Yet, as God so often does, the story was only beginning. It says in Scripture that God spoke up and said, "I will turn the son of the maidservant into a nation also." God writes the story of our lives through His grace. Don't write off your children too soon. Or maybe you grew up in a home where your parents didn't encourage you, didn't prepare you for the future. God has something very special for you. The story of your life is not over, even though your parents didn't help write the story for you. Live your life intentionally today.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Okay, thank you much, Kurt. Appreciate it. And if you just joined us, this is the Intentional Living Center. From this place, we do our research, we create videos and resources, do our national radio program, worldwide streaming online, and that's why we do this. We're very passionate. We don't live in a world with lack of information. You can Google anything about anything. The issue is one of execution, knowing the right thing to do and then doing it. Scripture says to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, Ephesians 5:10 in the Message. And that's sort of at the core and the heart of what Intentional Living Message is filled with, a lot of hope, a lot of hope. And we're here for your life. That's why we're on the air every day. Today, we're asking a simple question. What are you doing specifically to teach your kids about faith? Audra is in Lubbock. Hi there, Audra.
Hi.
What about this faith thing with kids? What are you learning?
Well, I have my son with me right now. He's 19 now. But when he was little, we lived in Alpine, Texas. It was a mountainous terrain. And I told him, I said, you know, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And he took me so literal. He went up in my cabinet and got some mustard seeds that I had bought to show people how large a mustard seed is. And he ate a whole bunch of them. And he's like, he's got a lot of faith in him, right? And we were driving down the highway, and he looked over at the mountains, and he said, "Mountains, move in the name of Jesus." And I never thought much of it, but like the next day, they had a small earthquake in Alpine. It never happens. And, I mean, it was very easy, you know. And Holy Spirit brought that to my memory later. He said, "It moved a mountain." And I was like, wow. Is it, I mean, because I know that they're talking about, you know, mountains in your life, you know, problems and stuff. But that was just a wow moment for me. And then later, he just showed me that he had much faith. He was always that way, and I'd tell him, you know, we're to charge our giants like David charged Goliath. We're to charge our problems that way, and have faith that God is going to take us through it and get us through. And he really believed it. And I had gotten sick when he was younger, and he prayed. I was healed. I mean, they said I had congestive heart failure, that I was not going to make it. I mean, I had pneumonia. It was bad. I was on my deathbed.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Audra, God has a way, if we have sensitivity in our spirit, and as children, I think children just naturally have this potential for more sensitivity, to have those God moments, to catch God's presence. You know, the other morning last week when we were coming to the office early, I was watching I think it was Venus, before the sun would come up. And thinking to myself, here's Venus, 20, 30 million miles from here. And that's one of our closest planets. And you look out into the vastness of the night sky and see the wonder of God's creation. There are so many ways that we can help our children see. There you are with your horses to see some of these magnificent creations of God that we have on this planet. These things are not random. They're not chaotic. They're by the process of God's touch, by his hand, by his creation, that these things exist. Powerful. Okay, Audra, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I got to get Elizabeth on here. She's been waiting just down the road from you in Midland, Texas. Hey, Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth. Are you there? Elizabeth is there, but apparently... wait, maybe... Elizabeth, is that you?
Yeah, this is Elizabeth.
All right, there, we found you. What have you learned about faith, Elizabeth?
Well, you asked the question, what have you been doing intentionally to teach your children about, you know, the Word?
Right.
And I wanted to share what we've been doing.
Go for it.
Well, it has to be intentional because it can be by accident. We're celebrating the Passover feast and basing ourselves with the Bible. We're doing a very tangible way and being able to teach the children about this. And it's not only about the history of it, but it's the spiritual sense of it.
You know, I think that's a very good point, Elizabeth. I know you're probably referring to like the Seder dinner, where there's a picture of God's protection again through that. I think one thing that we don't have a lot of, unfortunately, even in our own evangelical community, is enough tradition. And I know there's always the fear that it becomes, you know, rote and it becomes legalistic and so on. But a certain amount of tradition, some of these traditions can be very positive for us. And they build into the lives of our children a sense of wonder and a sense of expectation and a sense of tradition. So I applaud the fact, Elizabeth, that you and your family are doing something very practical to teach your kids about faith by some of these celebrations. I think that can be a positive thing, certainly. Thank you for your call from Midland, Texas. Midland, Texas. Wherever you are today, tell us your story. You can share it on our storyline at 888-888-1717.
My name is Kathy. I have a daughter who is now 30. When she was 26, she was talking to me, and she said she no longer believes in God because of the bad things that happen to people. And I asked her if there was anything I could say that would change her mind, and she said no. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, well, if you still believe, then yes, you can. And I told her that I was convicted of my faith, and we talked about it for a while, and she asked me where she would go if she were laying on her deathbed right now and I were talking to her, and I told her she would go to hell. And here's the thing that impressed me most. She thanked me for being honest with her, because she said most of the Christian friends that she had, when she told them that she no longer believed in God, they all said, well, you know, maybe you won't go to hell because God knows your heart, and he's the only one that does, and he's the only one that can judge. She thanked me for being honest with her. And that's kind of where we're at right now. I leave it in God's hands. He knows everything that's going to happen to everybody in their life throughout their entire life. So he knows if she's going to come back to him or not. But every day, out loud in the morning, I do pray that he fills her heart with the Holy Spirit and pulls her back to him. It saddens me. It frightens me. But I leave it in God's hands. And we do talk about faith. She just informs me she still doesn't believe. And that's my story. Bye.
One of these days we all will stand before the Lord and give a reason for everything we've done and what I've done. I trust in Jesus, my great deliverer, my strong defender, the Son.
Trusting in God, you hear that mom share her heart, her burden, her concern, her love, and her honesty with her daughter. And I was thinking as I was hearing her testimony, how some of you were responding to that. Some of you were offended that mom would be that honest with her daughter and appearing to be so unloving. In a day and age in which, let's face it, we don't hear the truth of the gospel sometimes. We hear the loving part, but not the justice part of God's eternal justice. And in fact, it says in the scripture, in the Corinthians, Paul says that the preaching of the gospel is an offense to those who are perishing. Boy, obviously we need to speak the truth in love. That's biblical. We need to do so in a way that honors God and know that God is a caring, loving Father. But we need to speak the truth. Let's pray for that mom. Remember her today, okay? And for that daughter. Maybe the story today we talk about kids and faith isn't the... Maybe you're closer to that story than a hopeful story. But today, trusting God completely today, okay? Hey, thanks for joining us. I want to say thanks to our members. They make this program possible. Thank you, members, for your ongoing, faithful, continual support for Intentional Living. God bless you. If you're not on the team, come and join us, theintentionallife.com. And for the entire team here, we'll see you next time from the Intentional Living Center.